Today was supposed to be the opening of a two-day meeting of Arab leaders in Tunisia. That was until Tunisia made a surprise announcement Saturday to postpone the meeting indefinitely. Since then, Egypt has offered to organize a replacement summit as soon as Arab League members can agree on a date. Joining us now from his home in Beirut is Rami Khoury, executive editor of Beirut's Daily Star newspaper. And thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
This came as somewhat as a surprise. Some of the leaders were on their way to this meeting.
Yeah, well, they had 2 days of foreign affairs ministers' meetings, which are always held before the heads of state meet, and the foreign ministers, you know, basically reach agreement on the key issues, and the issues that they don't agree on, they leave for the heads of state. But this was quite a surprise when the Tunisian government unilaterally announced on late Saturday night that the summit was postponed. It was quite a shock.
And what reason did they give?
Well, they gave the reason that the Arab countries were having trouble agreeing on the issue of reforming the political, economic, and social systems in the Arab countries. And they were saying that this was creating great problems and the summit wasn't going to get anywhere, and therefore they decided to postpone it unilaterally. That's what they said. Not everybody is convinced that that's the actual reason. There's a lot of different theories going around. It's not clear exactly what is the reason, but it's just an incredibly disappointing, shocking moment. I mean, people in the Arab world, the average citizen is shocked because, I mean, usually Arab summits, they get together, they argue, they agree on some things, they don't agree on some things, they make statements. Not much gets done in practical terms afterwards, but at least they meet and they reach a consensus on some things. In this case, they couldn't even agree to meet so that they could then disagree at the meeting. I mean, it was so preposterous and shocking and just a terrible failure of leadership, incompetence at a terribly vast level across the region. And the leaders felt that, and that's why they scurried within 6-8 hours to start talking about, look, we got to meet, we have to reschedule this, let's do this quickly, because they realized what a terrible blow this is to their own credibility and even legitimacy with their own people.
We're speaking with Rami Khoury of Beirut's Daily Star newspaper. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Now, these are dramatic times in the Arab world. It's a year since the invasion of Iraq. The situation between the Palestinians and Israelis is, if anything, hotter than it has been in some time. Obviously, these are big things to talk about. When the Tunisian president said that the issue of reform had not been sufficiently addressed, was he talking about that there was not enough reform being proposed or too much?
Well, basically he was saying that the Arab leaders couldn't agree on what kind of reforms should happen, the pace of reform, the nature of reform, the priority issues, and also there was disagreement among Arab countries in terms of, well, should we address this reform issue quickly? Because the American government pushed this reform issue to the top of the agenda by leaking about a month and a half ago the American plan for a greater Middle East initiative, as it's called, to push widespread reforms in the region, which the U.S. wants to push very fast now. And therefore, the Arabs have been responding, the Europeans have been responding. But many people in the Arab world are saying, look, we can't deal with these reform issues right now. It's much more pressing to deal with the Israeli-Palestinian issue, especially since the assassination last week by Israel of the Hamas leader, Sheikh Ahmed Yassin. So this created tensions as well. And then there's the Iraq issue, and there's, you have the civil war going on in Sudan. There's just a dozen big sticker items that the Arab people and leaders need to deal with, and they couldn't even agree to get together at a meeting to talk about these issues.
And what is the internal dynamic? How did the various countries break down in terms of which argument they were supporting here?
Well, you had, first of all, four or five different reform proposals that were presented by the Arab foreign ministers to the foreign ministers' meeting. You had Jordan and Yemen and Tunisia and Egypt, and others presented their own idea of what their reform should be. Then you had countries that said they announced, even before the breakup of the foreign ministers' meeting, they announced that they weren't going to send their heads of state. Saudi Arabia, most particularly, said they weren't going to send the Crown Prince Abdullah, who's effectively the head of state because the king is not in good health. So when Saudi Arabia said it wasn't going to send the king to the summit, then you had other countries, Bahrain, Oman, and others said they weren't going to send their head of state either. And that more or less decapitated the summit. And that raised another issue, which was the Arab leaders were supposed to reissue the Arab peace plan of the summit 2 years ago in Beirut, when the Arabs basically, quite, I think, courageously and dramatically and positively presented a peace proposal to Israel to live in permanent peace as long as the Palestine issue was resolved and there was full withdrawal by Israel from the occupied territories. They were supposed to reinvigorate and reissue that peace proposal with more clarity even. And there was a big debate about that. People in the Arab countries, some were saying, look, like Syria and Lebanon and others were saying, why should we go and make this big peace proposal to Israel after it just assassinated one of the most important Palestinian leaders? So you had multiple levels of disagreement, of tensions, of stresses, but people are saying that's the whole point of a summit. You get together to discuss issues that you disagree on, and you try to reach some kind of consensus or lowest common denominator.
As you noted, previous Arab League meetings have been notorious for their disagreements. A food fight, as I recall, broke out at one of them. Nevertheless,
that was one of the good ones, perhaps. Fortunately,
at this point, are people looking at the role of the Arab League itself and saying, "Look, if it's come to this, I don't know. Maybe we ought to go talk somewhere else."
Well, yes, I think for some time now, really since Egypt was suspended from the Arab League 25 years ago after its peace treaty with Israel after Camp David, that really was a turning point in the effectiveness of the Arab League, because the Arab League really was in many ways a creation of the Egyptians, and it was headquartered in Cairo and was essentially unofficially it was used as a tool of foreign policy by Nasser in the 50s and 60s, and it was a effective body for many years. At least people could reach consensus. They took positions, but since the Camp David agreement, and then especially since the Gulf War of the 1991, when Iraq invaded Kuwait and Kuwait was liberated, that created huge tensions within the Arab countries. And really, the Arab League has been a pretty ineffective body at the political level, and there have been many calls for reform from within the Arab countries, but it's hit bottom pretty much now, and I think people are going to seriously say, look, let this thing just die a graceful death, and let's
Rami Khoury, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much, as always.
Thanks for having me.
Rami Khoury, executive editor of Beirut's Daily Star. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News, Washington.